This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle within us that fire of your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and souls and set them on fire with love. You. Amen. Please be seated. So, for last Wednesday through Friday, I had the privilege of being at a conference with many other people from around our diocese, this section of the church, and we were led by one of my gurus and mentors, an Episcopal priest named Tom Brackett, and he is amazing. And he gave me permission to tell you a story that he shared with all of us. So Tom lives in Asheville, North Carolina with his wife, Sherry. And about 10 years ago, they were getting ready for some friends of theirs who were going to be visiting from South America. And they knew that these friends loved green tortillas. And they were going to prepare this special feast for them. And so Tom went on the hunt for green tortillas all around Asheville, and he couldn't find them anywhere until he went to this one little tiny South American restaurant, hardly anybody in the place, and he goes up to the guy behind the counter and he says, "Do you have any green tortillas?" And the man said, "Well, no, but I can make them." And he said, "Well, would you do that for us? We just need a few." And he said, "Well, sure." He said, "I can make them right now." He said, "Come on back." Said, "Okay," and he goes around behind the counter and he said, "Come on in the kitchen, I'll show you how." And right there on the spot, the guy makes the green tortillas from scratch, and he was showing Tom how to do it. And as you do when you're cooking, you get to talking, and they got to talking about their families and about their lives and became fast friends. They just connected. So then this guy Juan says to him, "I'd like to invite you to come with me to this gathering that we have every Friday night. My family and my friends, we all get together and we have a really good time and great music and good fun and we dance. Would you be willing to come?" And Tom said, "I'd love to come." And so he said, "Okay." He said, "But I think it would be better if you come with me because you're going to be the only Caucasian there." And he used the word Caucasian. And Tom said, "Well, okay, that would be great." And he said, "Because there's kind of some rough people there." And Tom said, "Well, okay." And he said, "And there's a lot of undocumented people there." And Tom said, "Okay." And he said, "And there's a lot of gang members there." And he said, "Okay, that's all right." And he said, "But we're all really good people, and it's a lot of fun. And one time in the week when we can just let down." So Tom said, "Fine." So sure enough, that Friday night comes, and Tom meets him at the restaurant, and he goes with him and helps him bring a bunch of food. And they go into this little part of Asheville that he'd never been to before, and they pull up to a shopping center, and they go around behind the shopping center, behind this grocery store, and it's nighttime. And he goes around, and he sees this glow of lights, and it's not coming from street lights, it's coming from headlights. And they've parked their cars in a big circle with the headlights, and they've taken pieces of wood on sawhorses and put them on top so that they can put all the food on top of the sawhorses. And there was music and the children running around and people dancing, and they were just having a great time. And Juan walked in with Tom and introduced him, and being Tom, they all loved him and they got to know him, and he went many, many Friday nights. Many Friday nights. Really came to know them and came to do ministry with them as they found out that he was a priest, and they would talk to him. And then one Friday night, this guy named Angel came to talk to him. And Angel was the toughest guy in the gang. Everybody knew it. And he came over to Tom, and Tom was a little leery about it. And he came walking up, and he knew Angel had been arrested 17 times for drugs and prostitution rings and fighting with the cops and in and out of prison, and just really a really tough guy. And he comes over to Tom, and he says, so you're a priest? And he says, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, I hope you're not like the other priests that I know." And he just kind of was a little nervous. And so Tom said, "Well, I'm glad you said hello." And he said, "So I don't know what's wrong. I don't feel right. And so Tom says, how can I help? And he says, I don't know. I just don't feel right. And I don't feel like I fit in. And some people are trying to say that I'm gay. And with that, tears welled up in his eyes, and he turned his back on the crowd so that they couldn't see him. And he said, but that's not what I'm here to talk to you about. And Tom knew that that was exactly what he was there to talk about. So Tom didn't say any more, and he says, well, I'm happy to help in whatever way I can. And he said, well, would you be willing to meet me at Denny's this week? Could we just kind of meet somewhere else and maybe have a cup of coffee or something? Tom said, sure. So they meet at Denny's, they're talking. Guy pours his life out. An angel then says to him, you know, I don't know what this is that I don't feel right. And Tom, at the end of letting him talk and talk and talk, looked at Angel, and he said, I have one thing to say to you. And Angel said, what? And he said, you are beloved. You are beloved of God. Tears come down Angel's face, and Tom says, so you know what that means. And Angel said, yes. So, a couple days go by, 3-4 days. Angel's crossing the street. Drunk driver comes, hits him, and he dies. True story. Tom said that the community was bereft. They loved him. On some level, he was part of their community. And they came to him. One from the restaurant came to him and said, we want you to do the funeral, and we're hoping that you'll be willing to do it where we have our parties, behind the grocery store. And Tom said, of course, I'd be happy to do that. And he sat down with his family. He said the double wide was filled with people, all these family members that all wanted to contribute to preparing this, creating this liturgy with him. And they picked out readings, and they had music that they wanted to play, and created this great funeral. And they had so many people coming to the funeral from their community that they had to have the help of the police department for crowd control and traffic control, and they were willing to do it, maybe just to have peace among that community or something. And they had an amazing honoring of Angel's life, an amazing honoring of his life. Tom told us this story, not this week, but when he was with us about 9 months or a year ago. And this week he said, remember that story I told you about Angel? Remember that story? And we all said, well, yeah, how could we forget? Because he was teaching us about doing ministry wherever we are in whatever ways we have to do it. And he said, well, that wasn't the end of the story. So we're all sitting up in our seats. And he said, last January, because remember, this happened 10 years ago. Last January, he's at home working on something, and he hears a knock at the door, wonders who it is. He goes, he looks out the window, and it's a police officer. Opens the door, and he said, yes, officer, may I help you? And he said, are you a priest? And Tom says, well, yes, I am. And he said, well, did you do a funeral for a guy named Angel about 10 years ago? And Tom said, well, yes, I did. And he said, he takes this piece of paper out of his pocket, and he hands it to Tom, and he said, was it this funeral? He had saved the leaflet from that funeral for 10 years. And Tom looks at it and he says, yes, this is the funeral. This is the service that we created. And he said, well, may I talk to you? And Tom said, sure, come on in. It was cold. They sit down at the kitchen table and they're talking and talking. And he said, you know, the police officers that were there, a couple of us were saying that when any of us got sick or died, that we would want you to do the funeral, and we would want this funeral. They were not Hispanic. They were as white as he was. He didn't know what was going on. He's scratching his head, and he said, yeah, and we have somebody that might need it soon, one of the officers. And Tom said, I'd be honored to do that. But you want this funeral? And he said, yes. And so then he said, yes, and I just want you to know that when the time comes for me to die, I want that funeral too. And so by this time, Tom's like, what's going on? So he says, well, can you give me some insight? And he said, what you don't know, Tom, is that 2 days after, 2 days before Angel died, he came to the police department. And he came to me, and he came to the other officers, and he said that he met with you, and that you told him that he was beloved and that we must be too, and that he was sorry for everything that he had ever done. he said, I am beloved, so you must be too. And then he went around to all the other municipalities in the area and apologized to those police departments too. And that was 2 days before he died. I mean, if I hadn't heard it from someone that I trust implicitly as a firsthand story, it would be hard to believe. Angel's story is a Pentecost story. Deeds of the power of God come in many forms of love and beyond words, and understood by everyone is this universal language of love. Today is Pentecost Sunday. In our church, an angel story, as I said, is a Pentecost story. And there's this book in the Bible called the Book of Acts, if you're not familiar with it, Acts of the Apostles, that tells us the story. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. They meaning the disciples and all the people in the community. And we say Pentecost, as we've talked about before, because it's 50 days after Easter, right? Jesus rose from the dead. He was with them for 40 days, ascended into heaven. And we have this novena time, the 9 days, and then today, the coming of the promised Holy Spirit happens. Well, in the Jewish culture, they also celebrated Pentecost, but not for the reason that we do, but I didn't know that. I just learned that this week, that they also called it Pentecost. Sometimes it was a high holy day called Shavuot that celebrated 50 days after Passover, the first harvest, and also the giving of the Torah. So there were many, many people in Jerusalem at that time that had come together for this high holy day feast. And the disciples were there too, and they're celebrating in this new way, hoping for the coming of the Holy Spirit. And that's when it happened. That's why there were so many people there who spoke so many different languages. And so the scripture says, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. These are the disciples now. They didn't know these languages. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. God's deeds of power is what was understood. And what this means for us is to recognize that these deeds of power are how the Holy Spirit now works in and through each and every one of us. In realizing our own belovedness, then we can't help but see it and enact it in other people in a myriad of ways. And sometimes it's as big and as powerful and fiery and wind-filled as that story of Angel. And sometimes it's as simple as this little tiny story. When I was in Washington, D.C. working, I ran a centering prayer group for a while, and there was a woman in our centering prayer group named Karen, and she had a son who had been diagnosed as a child falling within the autistic spectrum. And by the time he became 15, they thought maybe we can send him away to a sleepover camp for a while, and it was set up for autistic kids, and he was excited to go. And he goes off to the camp, called home every once in a while. And one day he called home, and he was especially excited, and he said, Mom, I think I'm in love. And his mom said, well, tell me about it. And he said, well, we were at this dance, and we were I asked her to dance, and she danced with me, and we were dancing, and her skin felt really soft, and I walked her home afterwards. And so his mom said, well, did you kiss her goodnight? And he said, oh, no, I didn't kiss her goodnight, but it was really, really nice. And he said, well, tell me about her. What is she like? Tell me about her. And he said, well, she's got long, long brown hair. And like I said, her skin was really, really soft. And she had these beautiful braces. And he said, oh, just like your sister Sarah has braces. And he said, no, Mom, on her legs. On her legs. What Adam saw in his new girlfriend was her core beauty. What Tom saw in Angel was his core essence of love. May we all see that in one another, for you are beloved. Amen.